Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, it was our fault. We made a mistake. Spider said it was clear. I wasn't clear, and, you know, I didn't want to tear my car up, tear his car up either. I respect everybody, and I demand respect. And, you know, I apologized to the guy when he came over the car, explained to him what happened, and then he took it to another level when he started calling me an idiot and whatever else. And I don't appreciate that. I'm not going to take it. I told him how I feel. I called him out. He didn't show. You know, so, you know, I'm good with it if he's good with it, but I'm not going to be disrespected by no means.
Yeah, I guess I had a dinner date at Applebee's last night that I find about until it's too late. It's a shame. Love their riblets and boneless wings, but...
All right, folks, welcome back to Meet Me in Applebee's, your number one unrefined motorsports podcast. It is Brian once again with Rob and Ashley. Folks, before we get into how we're doing this week and all the fun stuff, I'm going to send it over to Rob. He's got a little personal matter to talk about, so...
Yeah, how's everybody doing? Hi. I hate to start the show off on such a down note, but we got some really bad news about some folks we've talked about on the show previously, and some people that I believe, True Love, you've met them before, and I got to meet them at the Chili Bowl in Tulsa. For those of you who don't know who Bobby Moore is and his wife, Natalie, they're two of the sweetest people you'll ever meet. Bobby, if you've seen his work, it's probably the painting that he does at sprint car races like the Chili Bowl. He's an incredible painter, and he sells those. That's how he makes his living, aside as well as being in a band. They were in a really terrible motorcycle accident over the weekend, and both of them are incredibly banged up and very, very critical condition. I think Bobby's doing a little better than Natalie is, but they're going to be out for a little while, and they definitely need a lot of financial help since Bobby can't work and they have a kid to keep alive. So we're going to be posting a GoFundMe for them in the show notes. So please, please, please make sure you take a look at that. Do you got any spare scratch for them? We always talk about friendship and all the good people we meet as a result of going to races and being part of the racing community. And, man, there's no two better than those folks. I don't know them all that well. They probably wouldn't even remember me if they saw me. But I can tell you they left an impression on me. And I hope you guys will do what you can for them because they definitely need the help. And now we can get into the shit talk here. And the but seriously, though, this little family takes care of each other, and they really need it right now. So please, if you got any extra cash, do what you can to send it their way.
Yeah, we'll have the GoFundMe link in show notes and all the other places, so you'll be able to find that.
Yeah.
But anyways, so now that that's taken care of, let's talk about some racing. There wasn't as much racing this weekend as I think a lot of us had hoped to see, as once again, Mother Nature and the fun spring weather. We got rainouts in Ohio, rainouts in Connecticut, but there was some racing in Martinsville, so we'll be talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
Where to begin? What did we watch this weekend? I caught a little of the truck race. I caught most of Xfinity and obviously all Cup. So where do you want to start?
Well, let's just start with the truck race, I guess. I actually did watch a good amount of that one. I had family in town, and we actually went up to New York to a little lake house up there. My mother-in-law was smart enough to book this place like almost 2 years in advance, so she got it at a fraction of what it would have been. So I was sitting on Lake Champlain for most of the weekend with some family. But my brother-in-law and I did get a chance to watch this before we drove up, and it ended up being a typical shit show there, a lot of hurt feelings. Especially young Timmy Hill. I don't know if he's young. He's probably my age.
He's not.
He's not. He's very tall, Timmy Hill. Did not like the way Stewie Friesen raced him, which, you know, that's a pretty common tale, I guess. But Stewie took the Matt Crafton route and completely door slammed him. I think they got into it a little earlier in the race, too, which is what pissed Stewart Friesen off. And then,
it wasn't so much that. He if you saw the skirmish after the race, and he even kind of talked about it, like he had just been knocked around all night by everybody in the race. I don't think it was just Timmy, and Timmy just happened to be at the wrong place in the wrong time, and and Stewart more or less admitted it. Like Timmy called him out on it, and he was like, "Yep, you're right." And you know, whether he was being facetious about that or not, he at very least just admitted it and moved on.
Timmy Hill looks a lot bigger when he's angry. I'll say that. And it's a shame because it was probably the first good run they've had in quite some time. He was up in the top 15 pretty much the whole night, and then that little deal took him out of contention. And boy, did he not? He let Stewie know about it.
Yeah. I think at this point, my bias I have for Stewart being a dirt modified guy is falling away, and I think I'm good with no longer being a fan of his. And wouldn't you know it, he just got sponsored by someone else that we're that used to sponsor someone we all don't like. Chili's is moving their sponsorship dollars from Corey LaJoy to Stuart Friesen. Yeah, so
seems like they've gotten tired of coming in last every week, which that happened this week in Martinsville as well.
Yet again,
providing great entertainment for us at home here in the LaJoy Haters Club. God, that was great. But yeah, they've decided to take some of their money over there and make probably the ugliest looking car I've ever seen in my life.
Just pasted a bunch of menus all over. Yeah.
Looks more like a Waffle House menu than a Chili's menu, but
it's not a great looking truck. But so yeah, that was the truck race, and I forget who we've Christian Eckes won.
Yeah. Big fucking surprise. Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely my championship favorite in the truck series. Christian is very good.
Who does he drive? Like, what team
McAnally.
Is he driving for? I don't even know anything.
They've taken a big step up. They didn't absorb Kyle Busch's. That was Spire who got a hold of that stuff.
Yeah,
but they definitely have taken some big strides with some of the holes left by KBM and all that, and some of the other teams closing down. And yeah, they're fast now. It's cool. And Christian Eckes is a good driver too. I don't really know much about him. He looks kind of like You painted hair on a mannequin, you know?
Yeah.
It's very CGI-esque, but he's a very good driver, so cool to see him. It's the second win of the year, so.
There was also a supercars driver in the truck race.
Oh, yeah, Cam Waters, yeah.
Yeah, who is apparently being coached by your favorite driver, Rob.
Really?
David Reagan.
Well, that's why he's so damn good. Those who can't do, teach. So, and he taught Cam Waters to a pretty good run until he got caught up in some shit. I don't know where he ended up, but he was running top 10 for a lot of the night. So good for him.
I don't have much else to say about the truck race. Xfinity was Saturday. I'm struggling to remember who even won that fucking race. I know it happened.
Yeah, all right, another one of my favorite drivers, Eric Almirola. Yeah, that one was I watched a little bit of that race once I got home from Thompson, but I was so damn cold that I just went upstairs and put 15 blankets on top of myself. Woke up to the news. But no surprises there. I mean, I figured Eric could probably win one or two, and he's always really good at flat tracks. He was always a threat at New Hampshire, and I don't know how he ever did at Martinsville on the SHR cars or anybody else, but...
I mean, he almost won the fall race.
Oh, that's true. That's right.
Yeah, and Gibbs is one of the best teams there, so, I mean, yeah, it really was not a shock to see.
He's got a pretty slim wheelhouse of places where he's a guaranteed favorite, and I guess Martinsville is one of those, especially when he's in a piece like the Joe Gibbs stuff. So, yeah, good for Eric, too. Eric.
Yep.
And Carson Kloppel in his Xfinity debut.
Oh, that's right.
Fourth. He did well.
The dog.
We also had Jeb Burton and SVG having some beef.
Oh, I missed that. Do tell.
I guess Jeb Burton had like aggressively bumped SVG up out of the way, and SVG lost a ton of spots. He was doing good. And so when SVG finally got back around to Jeb, he gave it back to him and knocked him out of the way. So that was great.
Good.
Yeah, SVG is pretty good at laying the bumper, so I wouldn't try that on him.
This NASCAR thing pretty quick.
Yeah, he is. He was real aggressive in supercars too. So yeah, one for one conversion there, and he wasn't afraid to move people out of the way there. And they don't penalize you for the shit in NASCAR, so he's all about the bumper now. Which I'm here for that shit.
Yeah.
Especially against Jeb.
Amen.
So many drivers' kids we don't like. And I love Ward Burton, but Jeb doesn't do anything for
me. I like Harrison all right.
Harrison's a nice kid. Ashton and I met him last year. He was very nice. So I wish he did better because, you know, he's cool. But anyways.
Well.
Then Sunday happened, and you know, you're listening to this on Thursday, so you've surely heard more than enough discourse about how bad the short track package is and how boring the racing is, and you know, we're not drivers, we're not involved with the teams, we're not going to get into this fucking short track topic again.
Narrow retires, no shifting.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
Right height.
The only The only thing I'll say as a fan,
make it wet tires, make the track wet.
Spit on it.
Spit on it.
Jesus Christ. I'll just say this as a fan. Like, all this bullshit makes it hard to go to these races, and that is the worst part of all this, because, like, you know, we had a great time at Wilkesboro last year. It was definitely one of the best experiences I've had at a racetrack in a long time. Not to say I have bad ones at all, but I mean, it was just overall a great weekend until the race. And knowing that this is what's going to happen again, let alone the pavement conversation, which we'll get to in a minute, but knowing that that's what to expect again, and the same thing with Richmond, same thing with Martinsville, like, a lot of these tracks aren't incredibly hard for me to get to. Like, most of them are 7 hours or less, and I would love to go to some of them, but it's not worth spending time and money going there and seeing what we see on Sundays. Like, it's crazy to me that, like, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, what would you rather go to, Kansas or Martinsville?
Ooh.
Like, think about that 5 years ago and where we're at now, and it is vice fucking versa.
I made my tummy hurt you saying that. Fuck.
But that's where we're at, and, you know, like, so many people have said, at this point, it's all about the tires. Like, literally, we saw how good Bristol was, and Goodyear could be the hero in all this, and just say, fuck it, and let's let the tires do their thing. It's not like these soft tire packages get to be run at, like, Talladega or anywhere where there'd be a risk. Clearly, it fixes the racing, and it doesn't cost anything. Like, all that expense bullshit is out the window, and you don't have to do any other changes. So,
yeah.
Well,
I think the shittiest thing about it, not to get too into the tech side of it, but again, the car there's not a whole lot you can do to fix it. They're kind of in a box, you know? Like, because even if you fix the tires, you still have the shifting issue. They're in a sequential gearbox now. There's six gears. They can't take that away from people. You can just make folks, you're going to hang it in sixth, that's going to be that. That's just not how it works, you know? So,
no, but
tires will definitely help, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It just could be, you know, Junior's been talking about it for years, and now you have Denny talking about it, and he's one amongst many, but it's got to change soon. We all know that, and hopefully it happens within the next few months, because I know Wilkesboro is not selling well. We're already talking about Richmond losing a date and Martinsville. I mean, people are going to go to Martinsville in the fall regardless, because it's, you know, the penultimate race of the year. But
and the hot dogs.
So
and then straight into Phoenix, which is a snoozer too. But
well, that's another conversation. But
yeah,
it's an easy thing, and hopefully it gets changed, because Sunday was boring as fuck. Again, nothing really interesting happened. Dominated by the guys he figured would dominate. Obviously, with Hendrick being the big weekend, you figured you'd have guys running up front. It would be either Hendrick or Gibbs, and it was 1-2-3 Hendrick. So
Alex Bowman got a seventh. Yeah, so all four cars in the top 10.
I was gonna say Alex Bowman is very much on the hot seat, I'm sure, even though he got a top 10 out of that. So.
Yeah, the fifth. Fifth hundredth. Wow, I'm not even drunk yet. 500th win for Hendrick Motorsports, which is
it wasn't 500. They only just hit 300.
What was the stat? What was the big deal?
40th anniversary.
40th anniversary. 500th win, folks. How the fuck did I get that? You know what?
Well, speaking of 40th anniversary,
yeah,
turned 40 this week, and Rob is also turning 40
tomorrow or today. Yeah, if you're listening to this, I am now 40 years old. We're recording this. My last night is a third. I was gonna save this for the short track septic tank, but it's fine. I'm already already fucking up here. And not watching these races, even though I have to talk about it every week. But I'm going to have my last shotgun of my 30s on the show right now.
Oh.
I got a Miller Lite all queued up. I just poked a hole in it. You can shotgun along at home.
Did you poke it in the middle?
I did not. I'm not cornbread. I know how to shotgun beer. But yeah, again, love you guys very much. If you got your beer in your hand at home, I'm going to give you a count of three, and then we'll let them rip. How's it sound? You got yours all ready to go back at Brad and True Love across the table?
I got my water.
About looking at you. So,
yeah. Yes, in person. Ready to go.
All right. 3, 2, 1. I'm old, bitch. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Congratulations.
Wish you could have seen it. My 500th shotgun, folks. That's where I was going with that.
Yeah, that's that makes more sense.
That was the stat. Yes.
300 wins. Wow. Yeah.
So, yeah, Rob didn't see much of the race because he was doing family stuff. And
I actually watched the whole race with my brother-in-law.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, again, then, well, I'm sure you were bored watched, like the rest of us.
Austin Dillon be slower than David Starr.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
I know he's a follower of mine. I don't think he listens to the show, but
Austin Dillon.
No. This dude, John Palmieri on Twitter. He's a NASCAR photographer. Before the race on Sunday, he went on a little rant saying that Austin Dillon like should be an elite driver. He just has a lot of bad luck, and lots of people shot down that very quickly with many stats.
With the stats. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stating that no, Austin Dillon is not an amazing driver. So
ain't the real three.
Yeah. That's for goddamn sure.
And then Austin went out there and proved it to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, not much for David Starr to hang his hat on that, or the is it MBM? The 66?
No. Shouldn't even be out there.
Yeah, I had no fucking clue.
Yeah, David Starr didn't know he was driving a cup race last week, and then he showed up to drive a cup race. I'm serious. They were a late entrant. They brought that car out there. It was slow as fuck and still managed to lay down a faster lap than Austin Dillon. So, yikes. In a battle of low expectations. Wow. You know, sometimes the Lord provideth, I guess.
Yeah, it was rough.
I even put win number 500 in the notes. I'm just gonna erase
you did.
That
I
shit.
Know, I just gonna win with.
No, I'm gonna write. We're
that's,
taking
that's
it.
That's
the right
that's
off
the show
list.
Title. That's the show title. Hendrick wins 500
I was like,
races.
Are we counting Larson's dirt wins? What are we doing?
Yes, we are.
Like literally, Rob. Literally, within the last like 3 months, they got win 300. Like this year, they got
shows
it.
Shows you how little I pay attention these days. Anyway, I gotta be honest, like I watched the whole race with family, and again, like when you're sitting on a couch with people and, you know, hanging out, drinking beers, you know, eating food, whatever, like it kind of makes it a little better. The modified tour race, which I'll get to in a second, in the septic tank, that was also on my laptop, so there was enough going on to where it was exciting to talk about. My brother-in-law is really into NASCAR. Shout out to Tommy if he's listening to this. Had a great weekend at watching the eclipse, and my God, did you guys get a chance to see that?
Yeah.
From Georgia, where it wasn't dark.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't really dark. We had
watched it through a welding helmet.
Nice. Complete totality up in New York. It was pretty, I can't describe what that was like to see. Also, quick little shout out to Indianapolis Motor Speedway and all the other racetracks across the Midwest that opened up for that. There's a pretty cool video on IMS's social media of all the people filing in and it getting dark and lighting back up. But
that was cool. If I could have watched it anywhere, I would have picked there.
Yeah, pretty. Yeah,
I
seriously.
Eldora shot off fireworks too.
Yep,
they did.
I was gonna say I had a.
They can't do
a...
shit without fireworks down there. So they also ran a street stock race. So
did they?
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine that isn't even a racing guy, like who lives down there. He heard about that, was telling me about it. So very cool. But I'm willing to bet there were fireworks set off in my neighborhood when it was happening. I was at work. But Cleveland, for some reason, like this part of the country, it was like a destination to be up here. Like I don't know. I watched it from work. It was fine. It was interesting, but I certainly wouldn't have traveled hours to see it. That's for sure.
Me either. My family are all nerds, and they're the reason why we did it. I'm glad that I did. I don't know if I'll travel to the next one or travel a long way to do it, but man, pretty blessed to be able to see it in the way I did. There's nothing quite like that, but definitely it was a lot more exciting than the Martinsville race, and a lot shorter too. So, but shout out to William Byron, who celebrated at the Thirsty Beaver, my favorite bar in the world. I didn't know he was allowed in there, but I guess he is, and he was saddled up at the bar.
A lot of shit for being a fucking nerd and wearing those goofy hats, but he won a couple points back.
He did.
He's a single man now, so it makes sense for him to go out drinking once in a while.
Hunting
so.
Strange at the Beaver.
Yep, absolutely. That's a good place to find it. There's no bag limit at the Beaver. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also why I'm a Cole Custer fan, because after he won his first cup race in Kentucky, he went to the Beaver straight after that with a few of my buddies, so... Yeah, if you go to the Beaver, you're probably a friend of mine, and I guess William Byron is on that list. So,
I guess
he talked about his 500th win.
Yeah, he won. He's hit 500 wins.
So I guess we got to wrap up the weekend with the Denny conversation. You know, obviously he talked a lot about the race on his podcast on Monday, but the real story with him was his big spat in the middle of the night with Marcus Smith from SMI. Basically, Denny called out Marcus for cheapening his work on his tracks.
Well, you got to lay the backstory down because earlier in the week, and it's almost not even talked about, it's the secondary story. Sonoma got repaved, and there's a sports car event out there for the first time of the year. They opened the track up on this beautiful surface, and the shit started coming up immediately. And actually, I'm not really sure what happened at that race. I don't know if they actually changed the course as it was rumored to happen or if they got it fixed or how that went down. Probably should have looked that up, but I also thought there were 500 wins for Hendrick, so clearly sports car racing is not something I pay attention to either. Yeah, you look at the pictures of this. It looks like the roads in Worcester where I'm living. It's fucked up.
You don't need to be like someone who really has any knowledge of asphalt or concrete, anything, to look at that and be like, yo, that is a fucking dog shit job. That was less than a half inch of asphalt. Like, go out and look at any pothole, go out and look at your driveway, like, that's not how that shit should look, and especially if you're racing cars on it. And so basically, Denny called out Marcus on Twitter over this, and Marcus's clapbacks were basically, well, you don't have a championship, what do you know, which is not a fucking response to someone giving you a you know, factual criticism over your poor craftsmanship of your facilities. So yeah, Denny fired a kill shot saying, you know, you better hire somebody else to do this or you're gonna lose everything you got from your dad.
Let me read the exchange. Let Denny and Marcus speak for themselves here. Denny starts it off with, you don't need to delete the tweet, because Marcus said he would once Denny responded in person. So you don't need to delete. We've seen your reconfiguration record, which is, you know, that's pretty good, you know, also true. Marcus fires back with, yes, we take risks. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Usually they don't. That's my own personal interjection there. We've seen your attempt at the championship as well. When you have a chance, maybe you could give me some golf tips. To which Denny replies, here's your tip. Let someone else run your business before you blow everything your dad gave you.
just really, like, perfect. Like, again, I love, as a lifelong poster, If
classic.
You can fire shots like that, you've got my fucking backing.
And I'll say this, I'm a bit of a shit talker too. I'll say things I probably shouldn't sometimes, but never, folks, never. Never give somebody like Denny an opening like that to absolutely embarrass you in front of millions of people. And that's what Marcus did.
Denny is such a total douche on Sundays, but Monday through Saturday, he is the hero.
You're a Business Week Denny fan.
I mean,
same.
It's inarguable. I mean, we had this conversation in group chat the other day, I think for as influential, as important as someone like Dale Jr. is to the sport and all the things he's done and continues to do, I think at the very least in 2024, the most important person in NASCAR is Denny Hamlin. Yeah.
Well, it's one thing for Dale to say it because he's not an active driver anymore.
Yeah.
It's another for Denny, who is a team owner. He's in the room. Well, I don't know if he's in the room, but some of his people are in the room in the, you know, negotiations for the TV package and like the revenue share. Like, he's invested in this, not only as a driver, but he's put his money where his mouth is. And for him to go out there and be public about it and, you know, try and move the needle best he can, I don't see anybody else doing that shit. It's just him.
Yeah, people have tried, but nobody like this. And nobody has ever had the platform he has. I mean, you might hear Harvick or Tony Stewart, you know, say some stuff in interviews, but none of them have an hour-long podcast where they get to talk about this stuff at length, which is what Denny did. And if you didn't listen to Denny's show on Monday, I mean, he did a good job of explaining his side of the story, but he also laid out all of the mistakes and all of the issues that the SMI tracks have had over the last handful of years. And he compared it to, the ISC tracks and the other NASCAR tracks, and how anytime those tracks are reconfigured, like, no issues, or at the very least, minimal issues. Whereas the last decade, every single SMI track that's been repaved, before cars even hit the track, have had issues. And it's inarguable. And also, since we're talking about SMI being cheap, before the race on Sunday, the Bristol Twitter account, I don't even know what the hell bullshit Twitter thread they're trying to start, but they used a one of the worst AI renditions of a NASCAR photograph I've ever seen.
76 like, cars out there.
Like
going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, going the wrong direction. It was like whoever is doing the Bristol social media, they must have never upgraded their like AI package since they debuted last year. Like just the absolute dog shittiest. Like I can't believe somebody actually allowed that to be tweeted out. And they managed to piss off every single graphic designer in NASCAR with that.
Like, oh yeah,
they were all talking about it, and you know some of them are my friends, and it's like they were fucking heated, and it's embarrassing, and it was never deleted, no responses or anything to it.
Just
so
let it rip, you know.
So yeah, SMI had a very bad PR week, and they did nothing to change that. So all right, I guess we'll see what happens.
I figured out why I'm an idiot. So here's where. Well, in this one particular occurrence here, there's plenty of reasons I'm an idiot. But last year, Hendrick, the engine department, Hendrick Motors, like the actual cup, they got their 500th win.
Okay.
So that's probably where my brain went.
Why would you remember that? That is a way like less known fact.
Last time I paid attention, I guess. But. But yeah, that's what that was. Still an idiot, but I think that's where that number came from because that's pretty recent.
Okay, well,
and they got a nice luncheon out of the deal, according to Hendrick Motorsports.com. So anyway, back to the show, folks.
Yeah, well, I mean that pretty much takes care of the main NASCAR chatter of the week. Talked about Chili's. We got to talk about Indy practice today, though, because that happened.
That's right. They were out on track today for the first test session. Okay. Technically, it's sort of the veterans refresher is what it's called. And there's a couple guys out there who did like the actual refresher course, like Larson and other rookies and people who haven't been there or raced recently have done. Right-hander Ray went out there and had to do one, I'm pretty sure. But Kyle Larson in P2 on the board in his Arrow McLaren. I think he put down a 2:26.3 was the lap, which is pretty decent. Only guy faster than him was Joseph Newgarden. He was up in the 2:28, which is pretty cool to see that in these test sessions. Usually you don't necessarily see him run that hard, but that's a pretty good toe lap this early. It's not even May yet, so that bodes well for McLaren in general. Their other guys were kind of, I think, running a little more conservatively. Most of the laps turned today were in the 2:22, 2:24 range, something like that. And there was supposed to be a second session today where I'm sure people would have done more, but it got rained out, unfortunately. And that's actually how I'll be spending my 40th birthday tomorrow, is just on the couch with a cold beer, watching them turn laps in Indianapolis, which, in my opinion, there's nothing better you can do than watch that shit. So... other than the race, of course, but I love Indianapolis, man. But yeah, that's looking like it's going to be a pretty good deal for Larson. Very quickly adapted. He was passing people. And I know there's some IndyCar fans who are kind of annoyed at the fact that the broadcast is focusing on him. And I'd like to counter with, well, who the fuck else are they going to talk about? You know, like, why isn't Joseph Newgarden a star? And he should be. I'm not saying he isn't a great driver. But why isn't him or Scott McLaughlin getting all the accolades and coverage from NBC? And I would encourage you to ask IndyCar that question. Ask Roger Penske why his very talented drivers are not household names, because Joseph Newgarden should be.
They're ashamed of his milk.
Yeah, really. That should get him a lot more attention.
That really should have. Yeah, but that was back in the Fisher Hartman days. But yeah. A lot of people kind of annoyed with that. Again, I get it, but, you know, maybe the series could do a better job of promoting their own drivers rather than having to rely on the broadcast focusing all on one NASCAR driver. So,
speaking of Indy real quick, though, my friend Stacy was telling me that Danica, she's in another one of their like IndyCar reality shows, so she's both there and in Drive to Survive, so that's fucking awesome.
Oh, cool.
Definitely need to get her at Everywhere You Can. Yeah. On TV, so that's cool.
Oh, we did get a cup announcement this week before we get too far away from NASCAR here. Austin Hill will be running a few cup races this year, and he has assembled one hell of a team with him. What do we refer to as the unlikables? Yeah. Yeah. Austin like Hill that. With Keith Rodden on top of the box and Brett Griffin up on the top of the spotter stand. So, the internet's head exploding over that one. And yeah, I can't
say
Texas.
That
fat, racist, transphobic fuck was in Cleveland this weekend. And unfortunately, I didn't get the run into him. So. Oh, well.
Yeah, Austin's getting his cup chance, and I don't know, maybe they're trying to get him ready for something next year. I don't know anything about that. That's just me hoping that maybe the 33 will be a full-time cup car next year. He can turn some faster laps than the 66. 33 is half a 66, so.
That's true. I'm sure he'll do better than Austin Dillon.
Yeah. Also, some sad news this week. Bob Labonte, who was the father of Terry and Bobby, passed away. And that's a real sad deal for those guys. He raised a couple of really great race car drivers. And again, I don't know those dudes personally. I don't think any of us do or ever met them, but they all seem like they're pretty good dudes as well. So rest in peace, Bob.
Our friend Harris works with the Labontes now, and he only has amazing things to say about Bobby and his wife. And, you know, Bob, he wasn't just the Labontes' dads. I mean, he had a huge hand in getting them to racing, and he actually ran their Busch teams. You know, he's a championship winner there. So, he was 90-something, so it's not like this was a tragically dropped dead. But, it's still sad.
You hate to see the good ones go, regardless of how old they are. And Bob definitely seemed to be a good one, so.
Yeah.
I got one more piece of news.
Yeah, let's hear it.
It's Casey Kane's birthday. So make sure you smooch your Casey Kane posters today.
I got a piece of sheet metal I'll go lick in a second here. Yeah. In your honor, true love.
There you go.
Thank you.
$35 at Hendrick Motorsports. Best money I ever spent.
It's a damn good deal.
It's a quarter panel off one of the Great Clips cars. I was shocked.
You can get $150 for that on Facebook.
It's true.
So I guess onto the short track septic tank, which at least for Rob and I wasn't the weekend we hoped it would be. I know I mentioned last week I was going to try to go to Fremont since Attica was snowed out, and Fremont canceled before the weekend even started, which made sense because it's just been rainy and shitty in Ohio the last few weeks. So I didn't get to go to any racing this weekend. Hopefully on 420 they'll be running. Hopefully the weather dries a bit by then. Rob, however, did at least see a little bit of action at Thompson. So,
I did. I went out Friday and Saturday. Friday was cold as shit. And again, that's just race cars driving in circles doing practice laps. But I had nothing to do in the afternoon. So it's only 20 minutes from my house. So I hauled down there and watched a little practice. Just kind of sat there in the cold and kind of took it in. I had a pit pass as well. So I just did a few laps around the garage and kind of saw what I saw. It was real nice. I loved being able to having a chance to do that. Saturday, my guitar player and a good friend, Nick Mercado, joined me at the racetrack. The weather was looking pretty good until they started racing, and it never really fully rained. It just would mist once in a while. It would just start misting. And it was just enough for them to not be able to run, which was a total bummer. But we had a good time regardless. We did get to see a pass feature. It took about 36 hours to finish, 75 laps. But it was cool to see old Derek Griffith in the DG12 or the 12G, whatever it is. DG12 is his Instagram, I think. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But Derek Griffith, nice win. Big fan of that guy. So it was cool to see him get the win over Eddie McDonald. It was a pretty epic battle, especially when you split a feature like that into basically three little heats, kind of like a cup race. It was pretty good. There's also a street stock feature we got to watch where some dude dick stomped him. I don't remember his name. They moved the tri-track show up, which is, in my opinion, the premier modified series up here. The NASCAR tour is cool, but they just don't pay enough money to draw as many cars to run the whole tour. And Thompson used to be a giant draw for that. They did run on Sunday, and that race was very good. It was won by Ron Silk. So, again, that battle between him and Justin Bonzinor for the championship is it's going to be a hot one again. It's going to be those two just beating the shit out of each other all year. And Sunday's race was fun as well, even though the 16 really had the upper hand all day. But the tri-track race had, I think, like 36 cars showed up. It was a very good car count for New England, especially that early. And they rolled them all on pit road. They did they moved the show up, which I love that shit, so I don't have to stick around to watch the street stocks or suffer through that. Because, street stocks on a giant track like that, just, Nope. It looks ridiculous, but it's fun. But believe me, it's you get the idea. They got him out there, did driver intros, did the whole thing. They turned two laps behind the pace car, and they said the track was too wet, and then it missed it as hard as it did all day, and the sun went down right about the same time. And so they postponed it all the way to the World Series in November, and Nick and I went home very wet and very cold. So
and drunk.
But again, a bad day at the racetrack is certainly better than most days anywhere else, and we had us
That's
a nice time.
Very true.
And we're going to get that back hopefully this weekend at the Northeast Classic up at Loudoun on Sunday. It was supposed to be a Saturday show, but again, the forecast doesn't look good, and Sunday looks nice and clear. So me and the band are going to head up there on Sunday. If you're going to be at Loudoun on Sunday for the American Canadian Tour and the Pro All-Stars, huge car counts for both races. I think the ACT race has like over 40 cars entered. It's going to be fucking sick. And we get to see Street Sox on a mile track, so that'll be something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Hopefully nobody gets seriously maimed. Also, the other piece of news coming out of Thompson, I can't believe NASCAR actually posted this on their actual regional Instagram page, but this poor dude got run over by one of the pit carts rolling it down the banking at Thompson on Sunday. And that's a really high bank track, man. Like, people don't, it doesn't look it on the broadcast, but that is a steep fucking racetrack. And once he got the the handle kind of like pushed up against the side of it, there was no question what was about to happen to him, and he got run the fuck over. And hopefully he's probably bruised up, but I didn't hear if he got really hurt. I'm sure he doesn't feel good today.
No.
Having 1,000 pounds of metal come down on you. Off that banking. But yeah, I guess he's fine. So good for him. Also in the modified world down south, Carson Lofton got a win after Blake Barney got DQ'd. So that's his third win of the year down there. Let's move to the dirt world, folks. It's National Sprint Car Day as we're recording this. I didn't know there was such a thing, but there's a day for everything. David Gravel won it.
Because of Casey Kane.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. He's got fast race cars, but not fast enough. Well, I guess he's not running World of Outlaws, and it looks like I was going to say All-Stars, but that's not what they're called anymore. High Limit got rained out. But David Gravel did pick up a win at US 36, and then Sheldon Hodenshiel getting a big win at Arrowhead, which is a beautiful, beautiful racetrack about 40 minutes from my parents' place in Colquitt, Oklahoma. I was actually originally planning on trying to go out for that to see my folks and check this place out, because it's a brand spanking new facility. It looks like one of the nicest racetracks you'll go to out there. And the racing is pretty damn good, too. So congrats to Sheldon for getting a win. Also some news, a little dirt late model sprint car crossover. Brandon Shepard is running a World of Outlaws race at Jacksonville coming up. I believe the date is May 1st. Beautiful Valvoline scheme. It's going to look good. I think he's run a World of Outlaws race before. He's done some of that racing, but it's definitely the first time this year. And the only other piece of news I have here, especially mostly because I was at the racetrack and didn't have a chance to spend the night staring at Flo, Chris Ferguson has announced that he's going to run the Hunt to Front schedule in full and go for the title down there. He's one of the bigger late model guys that hadn't really declared. He's run a bunch of those races, and that's a cool little series if you can watch it. It mostly focuses on the South and all that, and there's some heavy hitters that are starting to show up in that. So if you have a chance to watch those races, you can pull for old Fergie down there. But that's the short track septic tank. Again, I'm going to be at Loudoun this weekend. If anyone listened to this, I think there's more dirt people who listen to this show than pavement people when it comes to that end of the world. But if you happen to be at Loudoun, come say what's up. Shoot us a DM. We'll have a beer in the grandstands.
And actually, the DARF of the Week segment, it kind of ties into the short track septic tank.
It does, yeah. It is an extension. It's our second appearance from this guy, right?
Yes, it's our... One of our favorite social media follows, What's Understeer on Twitter. Another great tweet from him this weekend. He's all about conspiracy theories. If you look at his page, there's a lot of conspiracy theories. And his new one is Dale Jr. racing Saturday night in the Cars Tour is 100% done to combat the High Limit race Saturday night. There's some sort of beef between the two series. Not sure what the beef is, but it's 100% there. Maybe flow money? This is the exact recipe to destroy two series. Now,
Dale Jr., first of all, is racing a Cars race this Saturday. Flo is racing down in Fort Worth at the dirt track in Texas. High Limit's racing down there. Both of these, by the way, are on Flo Racing. Both series are heavily funded by Flow Racing.
And it's almost like this guy didn't listen to the Dale Jr. Download episode where he went to Lernerville for the High Limit series and interviewed fucking Larson and Brad Sweet about the series? Like, it's like, I don't know where the fuck this guy came up with this theory, but it is batshit crazy. Like, there's no competition. They're two completely different audiences. And people, if they want to watch both, they probably will flip back and forth. It's fucking racing.
Like, and I will, because I like both of those things.
This is we don't even have to argue because it's just fucking stupid. But it just had to be pointed out because this dude's insane. I cannot wait to hear what other fucking nonsense. I'm willing to bet the next theory is gonna have something to do with Larson and Indy. Has to. Like, I don't know. I don't know what else he could say. But who knows? He says a lot of crazy things. So
yeah, this guy. I hope that whatever race he decides to go to gets rained out this weekend, so he doesn't watch anything. But
yes,
I think all the teams involved and anyone who drove there would be in agreement with me that burning this guy is more important than the whole thing. You know, we like to come together as a short track community to take care of people, but we also, you know, we love a good burn once in a while. And this is. Also, I do have a quick one. We sailed past this when we were talking about Denny, but my runner-up for this, there's an account called Lake Norman Cheesecakery that responded to...
name alone.
I don't know if this is a person or a business. I didn't click on it. But of course, Denny removed his tweet, or he apologized anyway and said he shouldn't have taken it there. And Marcus also apologized, and Lake Norman Cheesecakery fired off, High Road, well done, Marcus, in response to him saying that he's ready to bury the hatchet, which the High Road at that point is one of those things that you've missed the on-ramp for. Like, you already took the low road. There is no High Road for you to be on. You can watch it from the other side of the Jersey barrier. So you also can join our friend What's Understeer sitting in the rain at a Chili's somewhere.
Before we get into the video,
to take your side is a cheesecakery, then you've already lost.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably some weird, like, Earnhardt family reference or something, because Lake Norman's, you know, that they got that history of all the NASCAR drivers going out there. To me, that's what that made another fucking weird thing.
But if you've been out to Lake Norman, it could be a cheesecakery out there.
Absolutely.
Meemaw in her kitchen, you know.
That's also true. But no, Rob, so before we get into the video of the week, I see a note here, sage words from Uncle Kenny. You're going to have to refresh my memory on
that's
that
right.
What did Uncle Kenny say?
So I don't even really know
it's a real place.
What this was in reference to.
Oh, okay.
To.
It's real? All right.
I didn't put the Twitter link in here. I'll have to pull it back up. But it was in response to Mark Martin or to Mark Martin. So I don't really know if Mark had said something on Twitter that set him off or he was just agreeing. But this is just sage advice that I also live by. And I really, as I pull this up, you know, this is going to be really funny since I'm so fucking unprepared for this show tonight when I read you what he actually said. Oh, God, I'm just scrolling through Twitter on the show right now. This is fucking awesome. Here it is. It was 10 hours ago, and he tweets a lot, so you have to scroll a few inches to do that. Well, yeah, he says, to Mark Martin, so much to say here that it's incredible. So many people feel that if you're having fun, then that means you're not serious. So we act miserable and become miserable. I have many people tell me that I laugh too much. I should be more miserable to show seriousness. Totally fucking stupid. Love Kenny Wallace. And I put that on my fucking headstone, man. But also, do a little research before you open up your mic and get on a podcast and talk about some of the shit I've said tonight. So, but yeah, we haven't heard back from Uncle Kenny in a little while on the show here. And I just wanted to put that in there, remind you he's still out there. And that really did it for me on the eve of my 40s. So
and he did post a picture this week at a track with Jughead. So Jughead's back out at the races.
That's
so
great news.
That's lovely to see.
Great news.
Let's see here. So on to the video of the week segment. And, you know, last week I mentioned it's, you know, the big Hendrick weekend. Let's watch some Hendrick stuff. So I pulled up three videos.
Boy, did and, we.
Yeah. Well, the first one is pretty normal here. Let me pull up my notes.
Yeah,
see where
the
hell. Okay. First one's fine. It's an Inside Winston Cup segment with Ned Jarrett and Steve Burns from 1987.
Very, very young Steve Burns. It's always so fun to see him as like a child, pretty much.
So a little bit of backstory. you know, this segment is on Rick Hendrick driving at Riverside, and throughout the video, you get a little bit of backstory on Rick's driving career. And, you know, at that time, he'd had an involvement in IMSA, in boat racing, sports cars, that type of stuff. When he got into NASCAR, I doing research on this, he just wanted to know, he wanted to know what the cars were like, and he wanted to go through that experience himself. And he actually, later on, he did this both in, well, I shouldn't say, but later on, earlier that year, he'd run a Busch race. And in 95, when the truck series started, he actually did run one truck race. And if you go to the Hendrick Museum, that truck is there. That refreshed my memory while watching that. But, yeah, I mean, Rick's in his office and he's talking about his racing history and wanting to be involved. And, you know, he has a couple good quotes here. If you've got the guts to go do it, go do it. He had a lot of doubters. Everybody at Chevy was kind of telling him not to. He said it was a challenge to do. But he said he wanted that experience to get closer to the team, better understand how they work. And, you know, if you look at the history of Hendrick, I mean, this was on their upswing from them. I mean, 87 itself was not a great year. They had DW in the car for the first time, and he only had one win. This was Tim Richmond's last year in the car. He had two wins, but was out.
We lost Brian, but yeah, Richmond was out this year for sure.
No, I'm here.
There you are.
I think it just came undone for a second.
Weird. I mean, at this point in the year, you know, Richmond had been out. I mean, this is the last race of the year. Richmond had been out all year, but
they weren't Hendrick yet. Let's just put it that way.
They weren't. I mean, they had a 500 victory and a few other wins, but they hadn't had any titles. They were still, you know,
far shy of the 500 win mark.
Yes, yes. They probably only had about 15 wins at this point. Rick mentions they had this car lying around, which isn't true. What happened was when Tim had to get out of the car, they kept the 25 number for him, but they put Benny Parsons in the car and changed it to 35. Yep. There were a couple other times throughout the season where the 25 and 35 were on the track with different drivers, but that team transitioned to the 35 because they always wanted Tim to come back. So they kept that number for him. But Rick ended up driving this car to end the season. He ended up qualifying okay. He got 21st, which, you know, they mentioned he was ahead of drivers such as Joe Ruttman, Morgan Shepherd, and Davey Allison.
Yep.
It's funny. I think in this segment, I have a note here. Rick has no enemies. I don't know about that, because if you know anything about Rick's history, a few years later, there may have been somebody killed that he had some involvement with, and there's a lot of rumors as to what Rick had to do with that. But I don't think Rick has no enemies. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
But Rick talks about building the camaraderie with his team, and eating hot dogs and hamburgers behind the truck. He ends up getting out of the race early. He had a bunch of flat tires and some sort of mechanical issue. I can't remember exactly what happened, but the one thing I thought was funny, and granted, I think they were still on bias ply tires in 87, but he mentions that he couldn't figure out which tire was flat when he was getting flat tires, which I don't think you hear that. I don't think I've heard that ever from a driver. I mean, it seems like when they got a tire going down, they know which one it is. But
I guess on a road course in those days when you're like 3 feet off the ground and you don't have that experience, maybe it's a little bit more tough to suss out. But that was definitely something that caught me a little bit surprised.
So yeah, that was the video. Any notes from you guys before we move on to the next one?
No, I just never seen this. And again, this is from NASCAR Man, who always puts together great content. And this is just a nice little piece of history here. Because again, like Rick, he ran a few races over the course of time. And, you know, he's a pretty interesting figure. And, you know, like you said, he didn't have any enemies. But, you know, he's a pretty cutthroat guy. And there was a point where he was living in his car for a little bit in the early days, trying to start a race team. And if Jeff Bodine didn't win at Martinsville and get their first win, they would have had to gone home. And, you know, he's a pretty tenacious dude. And, you know, it's kind of cool to see him go out there at the top level and give it a shot. And I've always heard about this, but I didn't know that NASCAR Man had put a little clip up of this. So it was really cool to see this. This is all new for me, at least the video anyway.
Yeah.
Did y'all talk about Linda's tiger sweater?
No, we did not.
No, I didn't
That's
know
all
that.
You.
I don't really have anything to say about it except how...
I'll have to go back and look for that. I missed that.
It's a present.
I don't know
yeah.
how you missed that.
Yep. So the next video, got a bunch of things to say about this one. I found this little clip of Mark Zuckerberg's NASCAR day, and basically what he did was apparently he was on some sort of community outreach tour or something to do with Facebook and communities. And
yeah, I'm a real person. I'm not a lizard.
Yeah.
This is totally normal behavior.
This particular day, like, he went to both the Hendrick shop and he went to Charlotte with Dale Jr. To run some laps. And this little minute long clip I found, really, I mean, it is just the most PR slick edit of just like, oh, he was here, he did it. You don't hear Mark talk at all. Nothing happens. But in saying that, when I did a little more research, there is lots and lots of footage of this day on YouTube, and I found the clip of Dale and Mark at the track, and it's a half hour clip. I'm gonna put it in the playlist so you can check it out, and we won't get too deep into it, but this is where Mark shows off his robot tendencies.
He's really trying to be a human, doing his best.
He spends 5 minutes trying to pull down the visor on his helmet that isn't there.
Yes. Oh, God. So.
Well, you know, lizards have four little mandibles or whatever, fingers, and, you know, humans have five, so it's probably harder without a thumb. I don't know. All right.
He starts off the video. He's trying to get into the community aspect of NASCAR, and Junior kind of explains how it's, you know, a family at the track, and everybody lives in Charlotte, this, that, and the other thing, and it's fine. I mean, I guess it probably accomplishes whatever Mark was trying to do, but then they get in the cars, and that's where it gets fun. So
the only human reaction you get out of this man is when Dale stands on it a little
bit. So Mark clearly must have gotten some sort of crash course in the cars themselves and speeds and all that stuff, because he keeps bringing up the RPMs of the cars. Like, I mean, I don't know if this is just a weird robot brain thing or not, but we all know stock cars don't have speedometers in them, and he must have just somehow needed to connect the RPMs to speed on some level, and that's just what he kept talking about. Like, he kept
he's an analytics guy.
Did we lose Brian? I can't hear Brian.
Yeah, Brian dropped off again. This seems like a normal
Mark Zuckerberg zucked him.
Yeah, he heard him talking shit
too hard in the bed, and I knocked my cord out. So,
oh damn! Yeah, Brian. So here's something we learned today. Brian records the show in repose, like Burt Reynolds in that famous photo from Playgirl magazine in what, the 70s.
Listen, I'm fully clothed when I do this. I explained to my bedroom is both the quiet. It's the quietest room in the house, and it's also, like, compared to my office, gets better internet reception. So I record in my bedroom and I do it on the bed, and I'm stretched out on the bed. I'm comfortable. I got the mic right here. I'm, again, fully clothed.
That's fine.
With his fully mouth closed. Full of Zins.
Yeah. Just sailing. Yeah.
But anyways, Dale Jr., you can tell, like, he does not know how to act around Zuckerberg. Like,
I'm
going
to blame it on Zuckerberg not knowing how to act around anybody else.
Well, yes, but I mean, like, he just doesn't know. He's very, like, kind of shy, and he's not his normal jovial self. Now, I should also mention, I think this was filmed in 2017, so who the fuck knows? He could have been dealing with concussion shit at the time. Maybe that's why he seems a little off in this video. But he also, it is Mark Zuckerberg. I would probably be just as awkward around him, so I'll give him that credit. But he's doing his best to kind of explain all this shit to Mark and be nice to him, and they're getting all strapped in, and like Ashley said, he kept trying to pull the visor down on his helmet, thinking that he could, and he's wearing just a normal open face helmet. But again, like Mark said, the one truly genuine human moment that you get out of Zuckerberg in this video is when they get out on the track, and
I should say this too. Zuckerberg gets in a car afterwards, and it's, you know, one of those
the NASCAR experience
cars. Yeah, where he's he mentions it's he can only go 5,000 RPMs because he hits the chip a bunch, but the car that they're in is like it's not track prep, but it's pretty much a ready to go Hendrick car, and immediately Junior gets on the throttle, and he said he ran a lap around like 175 or something. But as soon as Junior opens it up, you get a holy shit, like a very genuine holy shit out of Zuckerberg.
We're really like, close to that wall, aren't we?
Yeah. So that was probably the most interesting aspect of that video. But like I said, the minute clip I thought was funny, and then when I did the research, I found this, and I don't know if it's worth a half hour of your time, but at the very least, get to the halfway point when they get in the cars. That is worth your time. It is absolutely very awkward and weird.
Yeah. Speaking of awkward and weird completely opposite personalities.
Yes. Yep. Speaking of awkward and weird, the last clip I found
features a man who is not afraid to talk to people.
No. Not afraid to
talk less to people.
Yes. So I guess. I guess Sammy Hagar had some sort of like road trip reality show on some channel years ago. And I say years ago because I found this clip and it was only uploaded 9 months ago. But as we watch the video, it's very clear this was filmed like 5-6 years ago or something like that. But yeah, we'll get to that. So Sammy Hagar goes to the Hendrick compound. And before he does that, you see the full clip of I Can't Drive 55 played at Charlotte, and you know we've all heard the song a million times. The only interesting part of the performance is at some point Michael Anthony, who again former Van Halen bass player who now plays with Sammy,
the secret weapon,
he gets to sing at some point, and he starts swearing at the crowd about traffic or something, like I don't know, he just drops a bunch of f-bombs. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? So anyways, they show the clip, and then we get to Sammy. He is first off showing us around the Hendrick Museum, and now Rob, let me give a little criticism here, because before the show started, I'm gonna pull up the quote that you said here before, because I know Ashley didn't agree with it.
No.
I certainly don't agree with it. Rob Motes, folks.
Yeah.
Sammy is a straight dog, though. As corny as he can be, he definitely gets it. Rob. Let's just get into this fucking clip, because I don't think you could be more wrong.
All right, so when I say he gets it, I'm referring to, like, he's at least a car guy, and he has knowledge about what he's looking at. And
I guess,
he's Sammy
I guess.
Hagar. I don't think you can expect anything else than this. But let me off the hook a little bit. This also wigged me the fuck out when I saw it.
Rob using the it's my birthday, leave me alone defense.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, Sammy does a little tour around, you know, the public Hendrick Museum with all the cars and stuff, and here's one line he says: unless you're a new guy getting hip to the sport, I don't think anyone exists like that. Like, dickhead, NASCAR is trying to gain more people who don't know anything about the sport. There are plenty of people.
We're not
going
to talk about how he introduces himself to Rick Hendrick.
We're getting it. We're not even there yet. We're it's still in the fucking Hendrick Museum. Give me a fucking second. Before he gets to introduce himself to Rick, he also says Jimmy Johnson. He is the NASCAR rock star. Jimmy Johnson, listen, he's a great driver, and I know he's got a personality, but he is not a fucking rock star. Give me a fucking break.
Apparently he parties like one, and he hangs out with Sammy, so he probably knows some shit that we don't.
He also calls a stock car a NASCAR, which is one of
That is a huge pet peeve of mine to hear that. So anyways, after we get done with this little public museum tour, we go to quote-unquote Rick's private man cave, which is apparently on the property also. I guess I didn't realize that, but it's this massive warehouse that Rick
private
has.
Private collection, yeah.
Yeah, it's hundreds and hundreds of cars, and like a true old baby boomer, he's also got fake storefronts and shops and shit all throughout these cars in this museum. You know, very... very much an old dad Corvette guy thing.
I mean, it is, but I guess I'm old enough to appreciate it, because I thought that shit was sick.
Rob, I'm older than you. Fuck. God damn it.
So anyways, on to the big moment. Yeah. Sammy meets Rick. Now
I don't know if they've met before.
I'm sure they had. They had to have.
You don't open up with a line like that.
Before he actually gets to Rick, he's looking at all these cars. He's looking at all these cars and admiring them, and he's getting all flustered, and he sees Rick, and he starts faking like he has a boner, like he's fucking rubbing his dick or whatever, and then when he finally gets to Rick. He doesn't say hello. He says, "Are you allowed to see these cars without a condom?" What the fuck does that mean? Do you fuck cars? Like, is that your thing? Like,
well, he walked in, and what he did was he didn't grab his dick, but he looked down at his cartoonishly large invisible erection and goes, down boy, looking at some Corvettes. And then Rick walks in, and he lays that little chestnut on him, and Rick's just like, "I'm wearing a fucking fleece tech vest, bud. I don't know what you want from me."
Yeah, Rick, much like Junior, he does not know what the fuck to do when he starts talking to this guy. He is just very awkward.
Yeah.
But then they kind of start walking around, and Rick's pointing out all these cars, and he's got like a bunch of different 50s Corvettes that are like serial number, no, number one. He points out a Corvette that used to be Mexico's, it used to belong to the president of Mexico, and Sammy was like, "I could be president of Mexico. I sell tequila." Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Jesus Christ. And he asks this question a couple times. First, he asks it to Rick, and then, you know, he talks to Jimmy Johnson. He asks him, RPMs or horsepower, what's more important? Again, this is where he is not a fucking car guy, because that doesn't make any fucking sense at all. Like,
this is the dumb
why
way
would
to
you
say
ask
it.
That?
Yeah.
Rick immediately was like, "You're a fucking dumbass."
Yeah. Yeah. And Jimmy, though, when he asked that question, he just goes, "Horsepower." Like, fuck off, Jimmy. Fucking whatever.
Well, I think Jimmy wants to be done with the conversation.
Yeah, Jimmy was tired of Sammy. It's from there. It's just a little tour, and they chit-chat and make some Ford jokes because Sammy's apparently a Ford guy. So we all know about Pop-Pop, Richard Childress's Carcass Museum within the Childress Museum. Rick has a much more family friendly and less frightening collection himself of guitars.
I did not know this, by the way.
I didn't know this either.
Yeah,
I've never heard of Rick being a guitar player or anything, which he gets to because apparently this massive collection. He's in this fucking room of like hundreds and hundreds of guitars. He says the first one he got was after he won a race and country singer Chet Atkins gave him one. And then later on, he says Tim Richmond was buddies with Bruce Springsteen and Springsteen gave me one of his guitars. And then
I didn't know that either, actually.
Didn't know that either. And then he's like, well, we started winning guitars. And then it's just like it just steamrolled from there. So, weird. It is definitely another baby boomer thing, though. Old guitars and Chevys. That is boomer as it gets for collections. Sammy did not know this either because he would have brought him a guitar and he didn't. But instead, he played one of the guitars in Rick's collection, bitched about the strings, and then signed it for him. And Rick was very thrilled with that. So,
yeah,
I don't know, man. I am not a Sammy Hagar guy.
I'm not either, believe me. Like, I'm firmly a first few Van Halen album kind of guy. Like,
I'm a Halen guy, not a Hagar guy. And that ends the Hendrick portion of this little 20-minute video, and then he has a little sit down with his rock star buddy Jimmy Johnson, which apparently again he mentions that they're friends and they seem to be friendly enough. And there's really not much to say here. It's just kind of a general chit chat conversation. But this is where I realized this was filmed years ago because A, Jimmy would not be in the Hendrick building today, not at all. No. And B, he asks him, Sammy asks Jimmy what other types of cars he'd like to get into and specifically mentions IndyCar, which at this point he wasn't in. So, yes, this must have been filmed 5, 6, 7 years ago or something like that. So that's really it from that video. Again, what do you guys think? I, 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 I love finding weird videos, and this
is weird.
These two were weird ones.
I really liked when they were looking at when Sammy asked if there's any Fords in the house, and Rick's like, "Yeah, I got a couple of them." And there's literally one sitting right in front of him. There's like a coupe sitting there. Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, but it's got a Chevy engine in it. Don't worry about it." So I really appreciated that. I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah, Rick Hendrick, literally the same man he was 40, 50 years ago. Very quiet, kind of reserved. Mm-hmm. I don't think you really get to hear him yell all that often. And in defense of Sammy once more, I do think he's a pretty good interviewer. Like, I know he's kind of cornball and says some dumb shit. But
I mean, he's charismatic enough. Yeah, he can speak. I mean, he's fine.
He was able to, and again, like, he's, you know, at least at the very least, a boomer car guy.
Yeah.
And yeah. His questions are coming from a point of his own experience that a lot of people might not have. So I appreciated the way he was asking questions to both of them. You know, I could have done without some of the, you know, boomer fucking erectile dysfunction kind of nonsense he's thrown out there. But, you know, it's cool to see somebody from definitely on the outside with some knowledge, asking decent questions and getting good answers out of people, particularly Jimmy. And again, I guess they have a rapport because they seems like they hang out in Cabo all the time. But
well, when you write one of the quintessential car guy songs, you would hope you'd have some car knowledge and experience and live in that world a little bit. So it makes sense. What about
cool
you
to see
Trulove?
Michael Anthony though? I like him. He's a cool guy.
Trulove, thoughts? Anything else?
Well, I watched this with my boyfriend Andy last night because he's been to that private collection before.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you said that.
Yeah. So, but he said it looks the same as when he toured it. I think he toured it around like 2015. Mm. But he used to, at the time when Andy toured it, he worked for the Zac Brown Band, and apparently Rick Hendrick and Zac Brown are like real good friends. So
I did not know that.
Yeah. So Andy said that he's been on that little couch that like Jimmy and Sammy were having their little chit chat on, and like in the background behind Sammy Hagar, you can see one of Zac Brown's albums and like a photo of the band. So
no shit.
Yeah. But Andy's got to meet Rick a few times over the years, and he said that he's just one of the most, like, genuine, like, nicest, down-to-earth dudes, so.
Hell yeah. Well, that's nice to know.
Yeah. There was one time, I think, they were filming a music video there with Rick Hendrick, and Rick got in one of his resto mods and did a burnout, and when he pulled away from it, he had made like a perfect H with his burnout, like on purpose. So, like, fucking badass. So
that's cool. Yeah.
That's fucking sick. I did love seeing the Ricky Hendrick trailer in the middle of the museum with the Quaker State paint job on it. I thought that was pretty cool. I was a little sad they didn't really show much of the NASCAR stuff, and it was all like the Corvette shit. But I guess it's Sammy Hagar, so you get what you get.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy was there for the NASCAR portion of the clip. So, but yeah, so Trulove, you watched it with Andy. How did that go?
Yeah, how's he feel? Well, see a Hagar guy?
Apparently, he had already watched this before. Like,
oh, okay.
I guess whenever it first came out, so he kind of tried to warn me like how terrible it was going to be.
Okay, well that's good.
But he did warn me about the like boner reference. So when that happened, I like lost my mind.
You got to get the genuine reaction out of that. I mean,
damn
that has
boy.
To,
yeah. God.
So, yeah. I did. Before this video, I didn't have any opinions on Sammy Hagar, but after it, I was like, I kind of fucking hate this guy.
I mean, that's all you need is this video. Like,
it's very cringy.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that was a success. I'm glad you guys liked it.
Yeah.
I guess that brings us to next week's videos. So we're NASCAR's in Talladega. Not this coming weekend. This coming weekend they're in Texas, but next week when we'll be talking about videos there in Talladega. So you would think that I'd pick some sort of NASCAR clip because I mean, Talladega is the NASCAR track, but no.
I've got two different clips to talk about. The first, speaking of NASCAR Man, which we mentioned earlier in the show, provided the Hendrick clip from 87. He and Brock Beard, a few years ago, did a little documentary video about Talladega. But it's not NASCAR. It's IndyCars at Talladega, the wild story of the 1979 USAC kart split, which I feel like, Rob, you've mentioned that in passing once or twice before. And I don't really know this story. Actually, I have not watched this video, even though I've watched many, many of NASCAR Man's videos in the past. But I've never watched this. And it's a nice little, you know, history lesson.
That's a good one. I can tell you that.
I was almost going to go with Slap Shoes' video on the 69 NASCAR race with the, you know, fallout with the drivers and almost the strike and all that shit. But that's been talked about enough. This is different at the very least.
Not that different, though.
Not that different. Not all that different. It's different in the sense that, you know, it's IndyCars at Talladega, which would have been insane to see. But spoiler alert, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But also, so if you go on YouTube and you search Talladega, there's going to be a handful of things that pop up. One, obviously, tons of NASCAR footage. Two, 6 million Talladega Nights clips. Yep. And three, Talladega partying footage. I think, I mean, obviously, True Love, you've been to the track, you've experienced it.
Yes.
You know, a couple years ago, All Gas No Brakes / Channel 5 guys made a few different clips that went viral there of, you know, in the track footage. Barstool's been there, all this shit. But I found a clip called The People of Talladega, and it's actually from 11 years ago, so it predates all that shit. Mm-hmm. It's 7 minutes. I didn't watch it again. I figured I'd wait till we actually talk about it on the show to watch the whole thing. But if you've seen any of that stuff, I'm willing to bet that it's going to this clip is going to mimic that. But again, it's an older clip, so maybe one of the first ones where we see the people of Talladega. So
yeah,
two videos, less than a half hour. So those are already on the playlist, so check them out. And so yeah, Talladega's you're looking for good.
Yeah, it's a good video, trust me.
So Talladega is next week. This coming week, though, is another SMI gem, Texas. Yeah. NASCAR is in Texas.
Another classic repave.
So really,
Marcus?
Marcus is not having a good April. No. And he's not. I'm sure he's not going to have a good weekend this weekend. So I think all three.
Eating his sorrows with a giant cheesecake in front of him.
Yeah, from the Mooresville Cheesecake Factory, whatever the fuck it was. Taking that high road out there on his porch. I don't know, like, out of all of them, like, I feel like this car is suited for those kind of mile and a half. It's like, yes, there's different, like, degrees of banking and all that, but, like, has Texas been all that bad? I think I lost everybody again. I have an open forum by myself. No, nope, you're done. I'm just kidding. I don't know what's going on with that. Sorry, guys. But,
my mic just went out, and I came back, and y'all were yelling at each other. Yeah.
I mean, Texas hasn't been as bad as, you know, some tracks, but, it hasn't been good.
No, I feel like it'll be, I don't know. I think it'll be okay. I'm not too worried about it. I don't think Marcus has to, you know, he should probably order a couple cheesecakes and get ready, but I don't think he really has to worry about the things he's had to worry about at Richmond and Martinsville.
And Xfinity might be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope it's a total shit show. I hope the track gets a big pothole in it and just ruins his month even more. So
fire
we'll
and explosions.
Well,
is there any other racing this weekend in Texas?
Well, the High Limit Series is running as long as the rain doesn't stop things. It shouldn't. I think they'll be fine. Forecast looks okay, but High Limit's racing on the property. There's a bunch of other shit going on, and I'm not really sure what it is. I don't have that listed in front of me, but if you're a Flow Racing subscriber or World of Outlaws or a Dirt Vision guy, there's plenty of shit to watch. So, and as always, if you want to hear or watch what we're talking about, just come on by. Ask me the link in the DMs. Send me a DM. And then we'll share that with you, because there's a lot of racing going on out there. And just because the cup race sucks doesn't mean that there's not other shit going on.
Rob, you got to pay your goddamn internet bills, man.
I do. It's Clean Feed, man. So we use a service called Clean Feed to record this podcast, and they're really pissing me off lately because we're losing hosts left and right here. It's just me. I'm about to read my fucking manifesto on this show.
Mine keeps coming in for like 2 seconds and then dropping off. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's the same thing that's happened to me. Like it's almost like my mic cuts out, but it's Rob cutting out, but whatever.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah, sorry about that, folks, to all the listeners. I will not edit this too heavily because that's
the
tough
end of the episode. Who cares?
It is what it is, and we're almost done. So
so yeah, it'll be a weekend. We already mentioned I'm not doing any racing things. Rob, Ashley, you guys doing any actual in-person racing things? Ashley's still dealing with mouth problems, so I don't know.
I'll be at Talladega next weekend.
Oh, well, shit.
Next weekend, but.
Yeah, I'm taking Andy to his first Talladega race. We're going to go to the Xfinity race Saturday and then maybe the Boulevard. And then we're going to the dirt track that night to watch World of Outlaws late models run.
That's fucking sick. That's right. They're running at Talladega. That's going to be fucking awesome. That's a fun place to go watch races. Port Rail's happening this weekend and Saturday. They got their usual program going. Let's see here. Is there anything? Smart Modifieds are at Hickory for what feels like the 15th time this year. I know it hasn't been, but I think the big show this weekend, besides USAT Midgets being out at Merced, the West Coast guys running, is the High Limit Show at Texas Motor Speedway. That'll be on Flow. Or if you have our special link, you'll be able to watch that shit. And that should be a great show.
Yeah, well, I'll probably have that on at some point. So, yeah, that'll be this weekend. I forgot to mention this. Should have mentioned it earlier. John Goddamn Force is a few weeks shy of 75 years old and won another national this year. So,
he did.
Give it to that motherfucker.
That man,
one of the greatest guy. One of the greatest drag racers of all time. Just amazing dude, and. It's so fucking cool to see him still win, so I just needed to say that. But
yeah, and there's always NHRA on TV on the weekends at this time of the year, so if you really need a racing fix, just leave Fox Sports on long enough, you'll see some Top Fuel dragsters, and it's always fun to watch. So
between that and bowling,
it's always bowling, dude. What the fuck?
Well, so as always, you can follow us on Instagram at Meet Me at Applebee's and on Twitter at Meet Me at DeBee's. I am Speedway Screens and all the things. SpeedwayTSJ.etsy.com is the store. And I forget Ashley's name. It always changes.
It's still the same.
It's just Ashley now.
Google Ashley, it's bound to come up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I'm still Rob Motes _ unofficial. My band's called These Wild Plains. But fuck my plugs. Again, I led the show off with this, but please, 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 if you have any extra money, please give it to Bobby and Natalie Moore. They really, really need your help. Like I said, we're going to post that GoFundMe link and put it all over the internet in the show notes and on our Instagram and everywhere else. Again, they're some of the best people you're going to meet out there in the short track and just racing world in general. So please, please, if you have extra cash, send it their way because they definitely need it. And we're thinking about them.
Yes, we are. And with that, our check is here. So thank you for joining us at Applebee's once again. We will talk to you next week.